You're listening to C101.5 FM, The Hawk, from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
Mic check 1 2 1 2. Welcome to Speak On It, brought to you by the Black Poet Residency and the Hamilton Youth Poet. We have a number of young people from Hamilton's artistic community talking about different kinds of issues, politics, music, movies. We share some poems, we share a lot of laughs and some healthy discussions. Of course, some of the things that might be said or heard during this hour might be a little moving to a point that you need to take a breath or maybe think a bit harder about something. As always, listener discretion is advised. We're going to get it popping with our good friend Abdul. Abdul, what's really, really good?
You messed up. You know you messed up.
Who messed up?
You're shaking. You don't know what's going to happen next. Then your mama says, "Bring me my belt." For this, we're talking about parenthood and talking about getting some spanks for different reasons. This reason is relationships. So, I'm not sure in your household, but that's something that we don't talk about in mine. Because it's kind of a touchy subject. It's like gray areas. We're not like ready for it. I didn't have the talk with my parents yet, but I still know what's happening, right? So I'm just wondering, y'all, like, what's your situation in your household? Are you allowed to have relationships, have something to like go back to? Are you able to have a partner? Yeah, let's speak on it.
You're allowed to get married, but
okay.
You're allowed to get married, but you ain't allowed to date. You gotta look for your partner, and soon.
See, in my house, in Caribbean household, you don't have a partner. You don't have a girlfriend, boyfriend. You have a friend. They say, "Where's your little friend?" We don't say girlfriend, boyfriend. It's your friend.
I'm gonna tell y'all something about African households. If you're a man in an African household, from when you are three to whenever you leave the house, the question is, when are you bringing me grandchildren? Where's your wife? Where's your wife? Where's your girl? Every girl that you with, is that your girlfriend? Is that your girlfriend? Is that your girlfriend? Is that your girlfriend? No, mother. This is the bus driver. My mom, she dropped me off at the house. But yeah, so another thing too is age plays a big part in that. I'm 20. Nobody's telling me who I can date, who I can't date. I'm 20 years old. I'm going to do it. But yeah.
So, you know, growing up, there's a wonderful comedian, Hasan Minhaj. Yes, Hasan Minhaj, who talks about this. He says, you know, when you're younger, your parents are like, "Don't date, don't date, don't have a girlfriend, don't have a boyfriend." And then when you're older, they're like, "Why aren't you married?" And it's, you know, because you gave me no time to even think about this thing.
Like I said, you're allowed to get married.
Facts.
But you're not allowed to date.
For me, my parents, the number one thing that they would always say is, "Ian, remember, you don't get a girlfriend. The only girlfriend that you get are your school books. Let your school books be your girlfriend."
For me, I'm lucky because like I have two older brothers, and the younger one of which is 6 years older than me. So they went through all that for sure. Luckily, I didn't really have to go through all that. Like, my dad has told me, like, "Shad, listen, I can't stop you from doing whatever you do. I can advise you, and I can tell you what I think you should do, but I can't expect you to listen to that." So, like, I'm just lucky in that sense of, like, with relationships and stuff. I still haven't talked to my parents about it whatsoever. But, like, I know that when I'm ready to, they'll be open to that conversation and, like, I'm lucky for that.
I can totally agree with that. Like, personally, I'm the youngest in my family, and so, like, everyone has gone through it, and now everyone, my mom's just like, she's mellowed out so much that they're just like, just get married.
Can we get an amen for all the ones, all the kids that are like the youngest of the bunch? Because no,
y'all
we so lucky. No, for real. We
y'all
actually
so lucky.
Like, there's a lot of things that we've been through that are like, damn. Like, I always got like last pick or whatever the case may be. But there are a lot of blessings that I count from being the youngest. Like, my older siblings went through all the hardships so that I didn't have to. And for that, I am forever grateful and thankful for. As far as like dating goes, my mom has never been like, Aaliyah, how dare you? Like, no, that's never been my mom. My mom has always been like, you know, just be thoughtful, think about it. Like, make sure you be friends first. You go through the process first. Don't rush into anything. She's never sheltered me from that. So for that, I'm very grateful and very thankful that I never had to deal with that. Cause damn, that's tough.
I feel like It differs from like household to household, because my sister was older than me, but I fought a lot of those battles. Like, my sister was just like, she's like, I ain't doing none of that, and I'm like, I want to. So I had to, like, my mom like would be like, hey, this is your girlfriend? I'd be like, yeah, she is. And then I have to like bring her to the household, and like, I was the first one to bring somebody to my house, and like have to go through those awkward stages of aunties talking in different languages, going, hey, this is your nephew's girlfriend. Hey. Oh, this guy. Oh, Jesus. All of that. I also think it's also very different for men in my household. Like, once, like, I had fought the battles, and I'm like, hey, this is my girlfriend, so get used to it. The conversation was, hey, don't get no girl pregnant. And it wasn't, hey, here's how you have protected safe sex. Please, don't get anybody pregnant. It was just, hey, you get a girl pregnant, you will leave this house. You understand me? You understand me? So conversations with, like, around girlfriends naturally led into conversations around pregnancy in my household, as if, you know, you get a girlfriend and that's how women get pregnant instantly.
y'all want to know what's crazy? You want to know what I actually told one of my cousins, because her father refused to talk to her about relationships. And so she came up to me and she said, I can tell you, where do babies come from? And so she asked me where babies come from. In that moment, I was like, so I know she definitely asked her father this, and he was not rocking with it. She definitely asked her mom, and her mom was not rocking with it. I looked at her and I said, you hold somebody's hands for too long, you get pregnant.
Fake news!
And I told her that with a straight face, and she looked at me and she said, oh.
She was like
five.
Oh my God.
But I'll tell you this, I've never seen her hold a hand.
Wow.
I've never seen her dap up. She doesn't even dap me up. She goes, she salutes me from across the house.
I have a story about, like, when my sister was younger, my eldest sister, my mom was like super, super strict. So, like, literally a boy would call the house, she would hunt that boy down. She goes, there's the auntie connection. She goes, finds them. She found her that boy's family. She went to them. She's like, if you ever go near my child, I swear you will not live another day. So as you can see, my mom, as badass as she is, like, she has mellowed down a lot now. Like, if I went to semi-formal last year, she was okay with me having my hair out. Like, that's a huge step. Like, before, she wasn't like that. So she's a little more okay with relationships, because now she's like, I want everyone to freaking get married. Just leave my house already, you know?
Rosa Parks crawled so that Martin Luther can walk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther walked so that Obama can fly. I am the oldest child. My younger brothers got earrings, tattoos, they swear at the parents.
Wait. Okay, wait, hold up. What? You know, did you say not, oh, no.
Yeah. Not at, but in the vicinity.
In the vicinity.
Use the shower too long. Sometimes I walk around and, you know, let's say I'm doing something a bit, maybe I'm going to McDonald's and I know I shouldn't be. I hear my, she lives on the opposite side of the country. I hear, Ian! And I'm like, whoa. Whoa. Sometimes I wake up from a dream, Ian! And I'm like, whoa. Ah! Some of the things, you know, I would have been the most gangster rapper if my mom wasn't still alive. I'm telling you. So, you know, we were talking about corporal punishment, and obviously we don't believe in corporal punishment. Obviously, no one should be hitting anyone. But I do feel like that there's a difference between children of color and the experiences that they go through, and you know, the sort of stat quo Caucasian children. I don't know if that's changed during your time, but you know, when I used to tell my friends or people at my school, oh yeah, you know, I got an F on that exam and my parents beat me. They're like, what? You need to call the police.
Yo.
But it seems nowadays no one kind of has these stories.
I have that story. I got that story. My mom.
Don't snitch on your mom, but we don't know your name. It's all
of course. But like, the thing is, there was this time where I did something really bad. And like I said, my mom's mellowed out. So it takes so long for her to get mad. So as a kid, I kind of took advantage of that. And I kind of kept going. And then one morning, she snapped. And so I didn't go to school that day because I was crying and I didn't want to see anyone make me cry. So the next day, I'm just like, yeah, I wasn't at school because, you know, life. They're just like, oh, we don't do that here. So, like, there was, like, because I lived in such a black area and, like, there was literally only one white person in my whole class back in Toronto. It's just like, we always kind of used to laugh where we're just like, of course, you and your mom, you're just like, I hate you, mom. She's like, don't talk to me like that. Like, here, like,
go
our families were yeah.
What am I going to deal with them?
We're telling her, like, you are so lucky. You, like, literally, we just watch the way she reacts. She's just like, yeah, I just tell my mom shut up all the time. Just like, you would get a beating if you ever dare even look at your mom that way.
Like, I'm the younger sibling. And, like, my brother's 6 years older than me. I can say for a fact that, like, they saw me about to get into that situation, and like, they were like, yo, why are you doing that? Like, he didn't do anything wrong. And then they took took the brunt of it too.
Oh wow.
And like, the thing about that is, my dad said, like, he was like, yo, when you do it, you don't like hit them, you just gotta, like, just you're in the store, you holding their hands, and they do something stupid, you just squish your hand a little bit so that they know they acting up. Like, that's what my dad said. He was like, yo, you can't like pinch them like really in small areas,
because
don't hurt them,
but let them
know.
A
lot of pressure. It's just gonna be a lot of pressure.
See, when I was younger, I would get bold and I would be like, you know what? I'm gonna call child services because all my white friends, you know, they're like, you gotta tell somebody, you need help. So I'd be like, I'm gonna call the kids helpline. My mother would be like, my mother would tell me, you know what? Let me dial them for you. I will pack your bag for you and you can go on your way. So
unhelpful. We had this whole conversation that day that I'm just like, you know, life happens. That's why I wasn't at school. Mm-hmm. We had this whole conversation about how kids help phone, like some of their friends called them. They're just like, they're so unhelpful. Oh. They're just like, mm-hmm. Well, that's life. We had this whole conversation.
Wait a minute.
I don't personally know people at Kids Help Phone. We don't know what goes on there. None of us have specifically called. I doubt that they're trained to answer the phone and be like, I'm going through a problem. Well, yeah, you know, just
that's
life.
No,
that's
life. I can confirm. I can wholeheartedly confirm. For reasons I would not disclose. Once upon a time, I made a phone call. So I made a phone call, and when I tell you, I'm thinking, all right, bro, this is it. This dude, I'm thinking, this dude a professional. He gonna help me out. The guy's name was Alex, bro. I'll never forget his name. Bro. I can't stand this.
Oh, damn.
So I called him. Whatever. I'm telling this guy my problem. I'm spilling my soul out to. I'm like 15. I'm spilling my soul out to this guy, and all I hear is this guy go. Have you tried talking to an adult? Oh, that's what I'm doing right now. Wow. That's what I'm doing right now. So, and I hung up the phone. I was like, that's it. I can confirm. From that day, because I remember I had the little card with the number on it.
Yeah. Rip that paper up. You don't need that no more.
Like LeBron.
Whoosh. But like, I bet each and every one of you has that one beating you never forget. Oh, I remember one time my mom was so mad, right? She went off.
Wait, we're speaking hypothetically here.
Hypothetically. I think it was a dream or something. I'm not sure, right? Maybe it was a dream. I'm not sure I remember. But she went off so hard. That, like, oh my god. I'm reliving it.
I hope you guys know we all appreciate our parents.
Yeah, we do. We do. We love them.
They're the best.
That's tough love.
They're just immigrant parents.
That's the thing. Because, like, I remember one time, right? She went off on me. It was like, even out of the blue. I forgot what I did, even. That she went, I was about to say something mid sentence. Pow! She slapped me faster than a syllable. Mid word. She knew exactly what I was trying to say. Pow! Holy!
We
had one of those though.
Yeah. Talk to me, Joseph.
Also, don't confuse us with abuse. This is discipline and love.
Exactly.
This is normal in like all types of cultures. So.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it's important to make a note of the fact that like a lot of our parents are immigrant parents, and in the part of the world that right. So in the part of the world where they grew up in,
even
right,
at school,
right. So I'm from Nigeria. Teachers used to hit us at school. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like in a lot of places that's just how they do things. So keep in mind this is a cultural,
and not that that's an excuse. I think that a lot of sort of new parenting techniques and the psychology of parenting has advanced, and a lot of immigrant parents are learning that, and go to show that, you know, my little brothers haven't had a finger laid on them. I received all the fingers. let me. What were your parents' favorite moves? Favorite tools, weapons? Once in grade four, I think it was grade four, maybe grade six. I had this teacher, Mrs. Goldman. Oh. She was beautiful. Nice. She had that Baywatch hair, you know? You don't know about Baywatch. I stole my mom's leopard brooch. It was a diamond leopard brooch. I took it and I gave it to Mrs. Goldman.
Oh. She took it.
But God is a great God, and I'll tell you why. That same afternoon, my mom came to volunteer at my brother's classroom, same school. She walks by my class. Hi, Ian. Mrs. Goldman is like, oh, Gloria, thank you so much for the brooch. My mom said, what brooch? This brooch. She looks at it. She says, Ian, when you get home, can we talk? So I get home. Ian, can you sit on the couch? I'm sitting on the couch. My mom said, Ian, why would you do that? I said, oh, mom, I asked you to borrow it, but you were on the phone. You did. Okay. She gets up as though she's going to walk away. But out from the slit of her skirt comes a fufu stick. I don't know if you know what a fufu stick is.
I don't
a fufu stick is like a wooden spoon, but double the weight. In fact, triple the weight. She takes it out and, oh, I'm telling you, is the reason I'm short to this day. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Don't beat your kids. Don't beat your kids.
You know when Mario runs into a turtle, he's like...
That's right. We shrunk down. PTSD to this day. But any shoes? Shoes?
Oh, no, you know what? So I'm sure everybody can relate to this one. I'm sure everybody can relate to this one. The belt. Now here's the thing with the belt. At a certain age, I don't know if it was the same for y'all. Around the age of like 12, the belt stopped hurting me.
Yeah, yo,
it just fully stopped hurting. I was like, bro, this is soft. I'm not even tripping off this. But the best one is when you can't let them know that the belt is really effective.
So you know what I'm saying?
Because you don't want to level up. You know what I'm talking about? So at this point is when I became an actor, Oscar worthy. Right? So you take the whip. And you know it always starts the same way. So me being a reckless child that I was, I did something dumb, whatever. She gets an email from my teacher that he was doing whatever. So my mom worked at the time too, right? So she, imagine like now, she's had a long day at work dealing with these white people giving her a hard time. She got to come home. She gets an email. She's at the red light. She gets an email talking about your son was doing that. So from her brain, she's already cooking up this whooping. She gets to the house. She walks in. And like me being me, because you know when you know you're in trouble, you try to like. So I grab the broom. act like I'm sleeping, right?
You know, wrong thing to grab.
She walks in. Hello, mother. So she goes. So my mom goes. My mom would always just say the same thing. She always goes, why? Like she would always ask me why first, as if I ever had a good reason. She always ask me why, and then before I say anything, she goes, go and bring my belt. Now here's the thing: when they send you to go get the belt,
you gotta choose.
That's where you strategize. She has an array of belts.
Yeah, that was my mom's.
So you know she has. You know what I'm talking about? She has the belt with the rhinestones on it. She has the, you know, that one hurts a little because it's a little harder. She has the one that's just a regular like flat belt. So me being me, I hid all the belts except for one, the softest belt. You know what I'm talking about? It actually felt more like a hug than it did feel. So I go, I get the belt, I come downstairs with the belt. And this was the moment that she realized that she can't whoop me no more. When she was with me with the belt, and just, I don't know what it was. This day I had it. I didn't have the energy to pretend like it hurt. She with me with the belt, and she was like... She was like, oh, okay. So yeah, big now. Hey, okay. Go and get my other belt. So I went upstairs and you don't try to. I was like, I don't know where the belts are because I hid them. I'm like, I don't know where the belts are. And then she said, if I go upstairs and I find those belts and I come back downstairs, whatever I'm giving you, I chop in double. I went back upstairs to go get those belts. I came back, the whole array of belts, set the belts up. She's over there about to choose her belt of choice. Takes about whatever. Take the whooping. But at a certain, like literally at age 12, it stops hurting. But it's like you almost indulge them. My mother's 5'3". It's like she's this big. Like it's like, you know what I mean?
So this is hypothetical.
Hypothetically.
It was a dream.
Hypothetically.
We're dreaming right now.
I'm not even real. Real.
I got one.
Super fight back,
yo,
oh, the worst.
I got a story.
Did you ever fight back though?
No.
You
want
it? Why would you?
The one time I retaliated was the last time I ever got whooped. My mom went to slap me and I caught her hand. Here's the thing.
I caught the
belt. Here's the thing. So at this point, I feel like I'm a big man, right? So I caught the hand. When I caught the hand, and it was instinctively, I wasn't even like my hand just went up and I caught it. And it was a moment where she just went. I thought I was gonna die, bro. I was like, yo, man, I go to sleep, it's a wrap. Like I go to my room, I'm sitting out, and my dad came home. And when I heard the garage door open, I heard my mom, my dad talking. At this point, I'm like, damn, they're just gonna kick me out. I'm like, this is it. It's a wrap. I'm 13. I don't know where to go. Then my mom, so my dad walks in my room. First, he knocks on my door, which never happened. I was like, I'm definitely dying. He knocked on my door. I was like, nah, she'd be like an acquaintance, right? Knocks on my door, pokes his head in with a smile and goes, so I heard you cut it, but I slapped today. As if it was a rite of passage. And from that day forward, it's like, all right, now you're a man. You can't get whooped anymore. You're too big for that. Yeah. They just let me go.
You know, parents are the same, no matter time, no place. They don't understand that us kids are going to make some mistakes. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand.
me school shopping. It was me, my brother, my mom, oh, my pop, and my little sister all hopped in the car. We headed downtown to the Gallery Mall. My mom started bugging with the clothes she chose. I didn't say nothing at first, I just turned to my nose. She said, what's wrong? This shirt cost $20. I said, Mom, the shirt is plaid with a butterfly collar. The next half hour was the same old thing. My mother buying me clothes from 1963, and then she lost her mind and did the ultimate. I asked her for Adidas, and she bought me Zips. I said, Mom, what are you doing? You ruined my rep.
She said, you're only 16. You don't have a rep yet. I said, Mom, let's put these clothes back, please. She said, no. You go to school to learn, not for a fashion show. I said, this isn't shining. Now, come on, Mom. I'm not Bowser. Mom, please put back the bell-bottom Brady Bunch trousers. But if you don't want to, I can live with that. But you gotta put back the double-knit reversible slacks. She wasn't with it. Everything stayed the same. Inevitably, the first day of school came. I thought I could get over. I tried to play sick, but my mom said, no, no way. Forget it. There was nothing I could do. I tried to relax. I got dressed up in those ancient artifacts. And when I walked into school, it was just as I thought. The kids were cracking up, laughing at the clothes Mom bought. And those who weren't laughing still had a ball, because they were pointing and whispering as I walked down the hall. I got home and told my mom how my day went. She said, if they were laughing, you don't need them, because they're not good friends. For the next 6 hours, I tried to explain to my mom that I was going to have to go through this about 200 more times. So to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand. Situation. My parents went away on a week's vacation, and they left the keys to the brand new Porsche. They mind? Well, of course not. I'll just take it for a little spin and maybe show it off to a couple of friends. I'll just cruise it around the neighborhood. Well, maybe I should. Yeah, of course I should. Pay attention, here's the thick of the plot. I pulled up to the corner at the end of my block, and that's when I saw this beautiful girl, the girl walking. I picked up my car phone to perpetrate like I was talking. You should have seen this girl's bodily dimensions. I honked my horn just to get her attention. She said, was that for me? I said, yeah. She said, why? I said, come on and take a ride with a hell of a guy. She said, how do I know you're not sick? You could be some deranged lunatic. I said, come on, toots. My name is the Prince. Besides, would a lunatic have a Porsche like this? She agreed and we were on our way. She was looking very good, so was I, must say. Word. We hit McDonald's, pulled into the drive. We ordered two Big Macs and two large fries and Cokes. She kicked the shoes off onto the floor. She said, drive fast, speed turns me on. She put her hand on my knee, I put my foot on the gas. We almost got whiplash. I took off so fast. The sunroof was open, the music was high, and this girl's hand was steadily moving up my thigh. She had opened up three buttons on her shirt so far. I guess that's why I didn't notice that police car. We're doing 90 in my mom's new Porsche, and to make this long story short, when the cop pulled me over, I was scared as hell. I said, I don't have a license, but I drive very well, officer. I almost had a heart attack that day. Come to find out the girl was a 12-year-old runaway. I was arrested. The car was impounded. There was no way for me to avoid being grounded. My parents had to come off a vacation to get me. I'd rather be in jail than to have my father hit me. My parents walked in and I got my grip. I said, Mom, Dad, how was your trip? They didn't speak. I said, I want to plead my case. But my father just shoved me in the car by my face. That was a hard ride home. I don't know how I survived it. They took turns. One would beat me while the other one was driving. I can't believe it. I just made a mistake. Well, parents are the same no matter time, no place. So to you other kids all across the land, take it from me. Parents just don't understand.
The summer before entering grade 9, which was like 2 summers ago, per se, I did something very stupid with my cousin for my birthday. And then I went home, and meanwhile, my cousin is also from Nigeria. Like, he was staying to celebrate my birthday with us, and it was his idea. And then so
No.
I took
Why stuttering?
Mind you, my dad is the oldest, and he raised my cousin's dad, right? He raised him because he was the charge in the family, right? And so he's like, why'd you let him tell you what to do? You know, why'd you let him push you into that scenario? And
I got beat so hard, hypothetically. It was like the plague. It happened because we did something bad for 3 hours. So every day was one time we get beat was for 1 hour. The last hour, I was fed up with it. I was fed up with it. And I'm fighting my cousin in my room saying, why are you doing? Like, I'm going back crying, like punching it. You know, I'm making him cry. He's crying. We're booking flights. Like, I'm throwing slides at him. But then my dad, my mom is like 6'3".
Your mom is 6'3".
And like she played volleyball back in the day and basketball. And so one of the
imagine your mom dunks on your head. That's your punch stand under the room.
I have one quick story I want to add on to that, and I have a question for everyone afterwards. Quick story, I feel you about like, you know, when you know you're like my last beating, my mom got mad at me. I said something slick. I talk back and I love like I'm King Petty. So like Petty Eddie is my name. So my mom got mad and went to hit me, missed my face, hit my chest, busted up her hand. I'm old enough. I'm old. Statute of limitation. I'm good. She American citizen now. Anyways, like, so, like, I was like, oh, I was laughing, and my dad was laughing too. All my cousins were there, and they're laughing at her. I'm like, can I get you some ice? She said, don't touch me. You did more. You wish. Yo. That was the last time she ever hit me. Mom, like 5'1", maybe. second question is, would any of you, knowing the trauma of like corporal punishment, would any of you still beat your children if you have children? Like, well, not, no one has children, depends. But if you have children in the future,
it does depend.
It depends. Yeah. I could. Okay, I have just one thing to say. Yeah. It's like a little story from grade 9. It's a story from grade 9. So basically, we were watching this like, you know, movie about parenting and stuff like that, and you know, it's a really old one, so it's just all white people. Mm-hmm. So
Parenthood,
yeah. So literally all white people. So then there was like different situations where, oh, she gives the baby away for adoption, one where she keeps the baby, and another one where like she aborts the baby. So the one where she keeps the baby, that one was crazy because this girl, she gets frustrated, she slaps her baby, walks out the house, and leaves the door open. We're all just like, is this allowed? Like, is this allowed? This is not even something we would do. Anyone would do. That's a baby, for goodness sakes, you know? So obviously things have changed and there is a limit to obviously what you could do, especially to a baby, you know? So if they get older and they're acting up, sometimes you gotta, you know, discipline, but like, not just for fun, just for the culture, you know?
What was the question?
We'll go right here quick. And, yeah.
Okay, so like, again, being the youngest, a lot of that got flushed out for me. So mm-hmm. like, I have a sibling, right? My oldest sister, she was the child that was like, I want all the smoke. Like, she was with whatever. So she went through a lot of the whole, like the hardcore like discipline to the point where it's like, okay, I just like, there's nothing else I can do. So my mom went through that period where it was like, okay, I need to find a different way to like get my point across. Mm-hmm. And with me, it was like stripping me of everything that I enjoyed, which mm-hmm. is very effective. It was very effective for me because like, I like my things, you know, like I like the stuff that I have, you know, even when I don't have much, I'm very grateful. And when you are told, like, when you come home, like, it's solitary confinement, like, you gonna sit in your room, do nothing, no TV, nothing you enjoy, you just start realizing, like, I started to entertain myself. Mm-hmm. And that's what my children are gonna have to do. They're gonna have to entertain themselves. Like, lockdown off of all social media. You can't go nowhere with nobody. Mm-hmm. You want to go out with your friends. Mm-hmm. You're not visiting none of your friends. Everything that you enjoy will be taken away from you if you do not move correctly. So I feel like that is more of like the lane I would probably go down, because I know that like beating your kids don't really do that
it
much.
It don't really do that much,
but like traumatize them or like create like a lineage of just like aggression and pent up anger within them, which is like not healthy. So
my main thing is like my like what I like to say, if you're gonna do anything, do it right. Even if you know it's bad, even if you know it's good, just do it right. So if I catch them locking, I might square up hypothetically.
At my what age can you square up with a baby?
No, not a baby. I mean like
to get squared
teenager.
Up on?
Like okay, not teenager. That's too much. You might hit back though. I'm saying like because I mean like no, I mean like no, I'm saying like. Like let's say if they're able to like talk back, when they talk back,
yeah, bro, you talk at two.
No, talk back. I mean like seriously. They mean like
nah, nah. Mama.
No. No. Cause I'm saying like okay, cause I for real though. If they're calling for smoke, and if they're in between 5 and 13, then, like not five. Hypothetically though, no. Cause I'm thinking about this right. Cause even when I was younger, right, I was built big though. Cause I couldn't feel anything. I got all my spankings on my butt though. So like that shit is like that's absorbent. So I didn't feel anything. So my question is like my thing is like they have to be smart. That's all I'm saying. They have to be smart. If you want to do something, they have to be smart enough to cover up or do it well enough not to get caught.
We're gonna take a quick musical break. You are listening to Speak On It, brought to you by the Black Poet Residency and the Hamilton Youth Poets. This is Dear Mama by Tupac Shakur.
When I was pregnant in jail, I thought I was going to have a baby and the baby would never be with me, but I was acquitted a month and 3 days before Tupac was born. I was real happy because I had a son.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef, 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, I'm scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a queen, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
To know
that
love is sweet.
Dear
mama,
baby,
place no one above
this. You all appreciate
it. Don't you know
we
love it.
Now ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they showed a young brother love, I moved out, started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I was hanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I said it feels good putting money in your mailbox, I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate. You're just working with the scraps you was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone. You're trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back. But my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know that love is sweet?
And dear mama,
please, no one above
you. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know that love is sweet?
again, I reminisce. Cause through the drama, I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy, there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I could pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love
this week? Dear mama,
place no one above this
week. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love this
week? Dear mama.
And we're back. You're listening to Speak On It, brought to you by the Black Poet Residency and the Hamilton Youth Poets. We are in a heated and passionate discussion about trauma inflicted upon us by our parents due to their old school ways of parenting. We do not condone corporal punishment, nor it's something that we believe that people should do. We're just talking hypothetically about situations that have hypothetically happened in our past.
Hypothetically.
And although many of these stories come from years ago, one of our sisters, Serena, has been recently on what she calls house incarceration, home arrest. Some of you may know it as grounding, but she says it's way more than that. We haven't seen her for months, but we're happy that she's here today. Can we give a round of applause for Serena?
Oh,
yay. Welcome back.
So, you know, as much as you are able to talk to us about your situation, take us back to what happened, as much as you are willing to say, and how your parents dealt with it, and what was your reaction to that response?
Well, before I start, Mom, if you're listening, I've learned my lesson, and I'm very sorry, but pretty much what basically happened was that everything you do not want your Caribbean mother to find out, she found out. That was pretty hard. Honestly,
What was the detective work?
I don't want to say I snitched on myself, but like, I snitched on myself, but I didn't intentionally mean to. It just kind of happened that way. I was not in the right state of mind. I was like mentally, I was just going through a really rough time, so I couldn't really explain half the things that I did to my mom, and I just kind of allowed it. I was like, sorry. When I told her, it was really tough because I was like breaking down. I was crying. I was hyperventilating. And then she had the reaction I didn't think she would have. She was like, it's okay, I understand. But that was just then. And then the next day, it just turned into like lectures and like hours and hours and hours of talking and like discussing, like, why did you do that? Like, what's wrong with you? Everything I taught you in the previous years, you went and did. Everything I told you not to do, you did. And I was like, yeah, but I wasn't thinking when I did it, which is mostly my excuse for like half the things I do when it's wrong. But I say I was incarcerated because it was about 3-4 months without any social media. It's like a teenager. Honestly, it wasn't that bad for me because I was like, my phone is dry as hell anyways, and nobody hitting up my line. It's fine. Like, my mom would call me when I did have my phone. I wouldn't answer. or I would decline her call, and like that kind of just like vexed her. As a Caribbean woman, it vexed her. So, you know, like when you call your parents and they don't answer, it's not a big deal. But when they call you and you don't answer, it's like the end of the world. Yeah, that happened a lot of times, which was one of the problems. But they took away my phone, social media, communication. I pretty much locked myself in my room for most of the time. I try to build back the relationships that I broke in with my family. I didn't know how to do that, but I was determined to do that. I'd go and watch movies with them, TVs with them, TV shows with them. I try to talk to them more. But my family is very conservative, so we don't talk a lot about anything, about sex, drugs, alcohol, boys, the girls. We don't talk about anything like that because, A, we're very conservative. We're Caribbean, and we're very religious. My family owns about 2 churches. Half of them are gospel singers, pastors. My grandfather had like a really big name in the city. He was one of the most memorable pastors, and he passed away. So, my family's really religious. They're really stuck to the Bible, like very, very strong with the commandments, that kind of thing, especially my grandma. So thankfully she did not find out what happened. Otherwise, I would no longer be the favorite. But but it was a pretty tough time. I was trying to figure out what to do with all this time I had. I was trying to finish my booklets that I did because I was doing schoolwork. So I was trying to finish that as quick as possible because I thought as soon as I get this done, I will get my phone back, my life back. But I was also struggling mentally. So I had a lot of mental illness and I had to try to figure out, you know, depression kind of sucks when you wake up and you just want to lay in bed all day and you're like, forget the booklets. I'm going to take a long nap. I'm going to take a 6-year coma and I'm never going to wake up. So like it was really difficult, and like the anxiety of like my whole house was just tense. It was so tense. It was really hard because like you see the looks and they you know that they are accepting the fact that you did it because you can't go back and change it. But they try to ignore it and not bring it up so much, but it's always there because it was just such a big thing that happened. And my mom just, she told me that it was really hard for her to deal with because she was not the first person to know about all the stuff that happened with me. So she was really upset about that. But through that time being...
How long were you away?
3 to 4 months.
3 to 4 months, no social media. You're listening, kids?
That's like... Honestly,
she's still alive.
Honestly, yeah. A lot of people... Yeah. Like, a lot of kids think...
A year ago.
A lot of kids think that if you get your phone taken away, it's the end of the world. But, like, I've gotten away, like, taken away for way longer. I've had it done for a year. My mom took my phone away. She's like, oh, you want your phone? No, you're going to see it next year. So, like, it was nothing for me. Like, I didn't, like, I cared, but at the same time, I'm like, this is a good thing. Like, I can actually get on the right path, get my priorities set. I bought, like, so many books. I spent so much money on books, and I just kind of, like, try to find myself within that time, which was something I needed to do because I didn't really know who I was last year. I did things countless times and didn't really think about it. And I did things out of emotion instead of logic. I was pretty reckless. So when I was incarcerated, quote unquote incarcerated, I wasn't actually in jail. But a lot of people asked me that. But during that time, I had to find myself. I realized a lot of things about myself that I didn't know. I bettered myself because I wanted to be a better person for not only my family, but myself, because I realized that what I was doing was wrong. And even though I was like, damn, my parents found out, I'm in trouble, I'm away from everybody, everything I love is gone. I realized that it was probably for the better good, right? It was, everything happens for a reason. I'm a really big believer in that. So I thought that even though it sucks that they found out about all this stuff, I was actually able to A, fix myself mentally. I was able to cope with all the things I was struggling with. Fix myself spiritually. I actually grew in my spiritual self. I call it a spiritual quest. I went to find myself, and I realized a lot of things that I probably wouldn't have found out if I was still doing the things I was doing that got me in trouble.
That's such a great point. Oftentimes we don't fully understand the work that our parents do. We don't understand what it's like to have children. And it's really amazing that you were able to get something positive out of that experience and really feel that you are putting your life on track. So we welcome you back, but we welcome the new you as well. Awesome. Last question before we dip set. What sort of things will you take from your parents in terms of their parenting style? And what sort of things will you think about doing differently if you were to have children?
One thing I'll take away from my parents is how my mom is able to like adapt to different situations. Of course, what do you call it? Of course, when you're dealing with kids, they're going to throw you curveballs, weird curveballs, some things you don't understand. Because, I like how she's, able to get her opinion across and, still, be mad, but I still understand her mad. You know what I mean? Because, this is what she does. Let's say, even when she's mad, let's say she's arguing with me. She argues with facts, not with emotions. Mm-hmm. So it kind of tells you to shut up, but not really. So I like that part of my mom. And also, when you take in, there's going to be of course, generational changes. There's going to be something strange is going to happen when you have kids. No matter what, no matter where you grew up with them, where you raise them, it's going to be strange. You're going to be what's that? You're going to want to square up with the kid. I don't want my kid to hide anything from me, but I still want them to be somewhat sneaky. Cause you need that in this world. You need that in the world. I'm scared. Afraid as in respect. You know what I mean? In that way. Cause that's what I got to say at least.
All right, so for me, I think I'm going to take a lot of how my parents raised me because, they wouldn't really beat me that much. They just, give me, the little pinch in the grocery store. You know, if I'm acting up, they can see it. They're like, hey, yo. I treat more of my parents like my friends more than my parents. That's what I want to keep because for that is just trust, right? I know they trust me and, I trust them. And the hardest thing, I know this from experience. My friend got caught cheating on a test. And he was, and his parents found out. He didn't tell him. His parents got emailed. And his parents didn't do anything. They just said, okay, so you're lying to me about this. What else are you lying about? Mm. The next day he came into school and all of us, all our entire friend group, sat at the table, at a table and just silent. Because when you lose a parent's trust, it's the worst feeling. Honestly, we could see it in his face. He was ready to break down in front of us. And that's just when you lose a parent's trust, it's just difficult to do that. And I want to have that type of trust with my kids so that they work not to lose it.
Personally, for me, I think that things that I would keep with my the things that my parents did that I would do was to have my children know that I'm always there for them. For me, it's all about trust. Me and my mom, we have this relationship where I could tell her most of the things that I want to tell her. Yeah. My dad, not so much. We're not there yet. But I feel for me, my sister, my eldest sister kind of raised me a little more than my mom did. My mom was there, but she was working and she was doing all the things she needed to do to take care of all of us. While my sister, she helped me with my health. She was there at the hospital with me when I needed. So I want that trust with my children that I have with my parents. I want them to be able to tell me anything. Also, I'll keep them away from regular TV, the new TV, because I want them to actually learn something. And nowadays you don't really learn anything from the TV nowadays. So I'd rather make them watch 90 shows, 2000 shows. What I watched when I was a kid, I watched what my siblings used to watch when they were kids. So I'd want them to always learn. I want them to be able to learn from their mistakes and know that I taught you better. Cause my mom, she trusts us so much because she taught us very, very well of what is good and what is bad in our opinion. So
with us, she knows where we go. She can trust us with what we do, because if not, then like you feel devastated, right? Mm. So like she knows that we're not like in Somali. We're not like Riyal Souk. We stay home. We literally, if we're not home, we're out, and it's the people she knows about. But me personally, where do I go? Where do I go? I'm home. And I read, and I'm on my phone, and if it is punishment time, no phone, no nothing for 6 months. You won't, like, it's not like I go out in the first place, but, you know, I stay home.
Yeah, Amani, you are the epitome of the saintly child, of the kind of child that everybody would want.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
No.
Again, we thank the parents for their love, and we thank them for the lessons. We are not upset about the discipline that we receive.
Hypothetically.
We take it with love, and it's all about evolution, right? The idea is that our parents raise us in certain ways so that we can raise our children even better. This has been another segment of Speak On It, brought to you by the Black Poet Residency and the Hamilton Youth Poets. Hopefully you have a beautiful Saturday.
One day I'm gonna understand. Zaya. Unsure what the balance held, I touched my belly, overwhelmed by what I had been chosen to perform. But then an angel came one day, told me to kneel down and pray, for unto me a man-child would be born. Oh, this crazy circumstance, I knew his life deserved a chance, but everybody told me to be smart. Look at your career, they said, Lauren, baby, use your head. But instead I chose to use my heart. Now the joy of my world is in Zion. Door. I've never been in love like this before. Now let me pray to keep you from the perils that will surely come. See, life for you, my prince, has just begun. And I thank you for choosing me to come through unto life to be a beautiful reflection of his grace. See, I know that it gives.
Listen to The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
This is Beatles Mania on 101.5 The Hawk. Sponsored by Beatles Magazine. Get Beatles news 24 hours a day, 8 days a week. Go to BeatlesMagazineUK.com for the latest info.
With love from me to you,
Beatles Mania is now on the air.
On the air.
Beatlesmania for September 12th, 2020 is now on the air. I'm Kyle Slaz, and we have a great show ahead of us for this Saturday afternoon. Full two-hour show of live Beatles tracks and solo live Beatles tracks. Bunch of interviews as well as two featured artists. We're going to get this show started off right now with the Beatles live at the Hollywood Bowl. She's a Woman here on 101.5 The Hawk.